You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour two of Miller and Moulton, at least along the network, on this Monday. Is this a bracket Monday?
It is a bracket Monday.
Top of the morning to you. How the heck are you, Miller and Moulton? MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X.
Speaking of X, a good follow is John Rothstein. He's got some tournament nuggets. You want a couple nuggets, David?
Lay them on me, big fella.
Midwest region nugget. Virginia has not won a tournament game since it won the Natty in 2019. Huh? How about that one for a nugget?
That is pretty good.
Here's a South region nugget. Nebraska has never won an NCAA tournament game.
By the way, don't tell me the committee doesn't A, have a sense of humor, and B, just elbow the guys on either side of them and go, what do you say we put these two teams together? No, man, we can't do that. That's cold. Nah, come on, what do you say we do it? Because remember, Mark, what was one of the bigger stories last week in sports?
Well, the Nebraska athletic director left to become the athletic director at Texas A&M.
Mark, who does Nebraska play in both the men's and women's NCAA tournament?
That would be Texas A&M.
Right. The defense rests, Your Honor. Nothing to see here. Nothing nefarious going on. It just so happened. You know, we listed our teams, and I'll be darned.
This nugget in the West region, not as good. Chris Jans, the coach of Mississippi State?
Yes.
He was an assistant in NAIA ball when Izzo was named the head coach at Michigan State in 95. That's a pretty lame nugget. And then finally in the East region, Northwestern is playing in the NCAA tournament in back-to-back seasons for the first time ever. So there's some tournament nuggets for you, David.
I like the nuggets. I do. Big fan of nuggets. All right. Not necessarily McDonald's, but I'm a big fan of the nuggets. I mean, they can do in a pinch. I mean, that's like, you know, 10 nuggets is like an extra order of fries. It's like a supersize on your fries. You want to supersize your fries? No, give me 10 nuggets. It's the same thing. So Duquesne in the tournament for the first time since the Carter administration in 77. Stetson and Grambling in it for the first time ever. Ever. There's still like 42 schools, something like that, who have yet to appear in the NCAA tournament. And Long Beach State is in for the first time in 11 years. And the guy who led him there, they fired him Monday. But let him coach the conference tournament, so he won it. And he wasn't supposed to either. It was like a 4 or 5 seed. I mean, that's the other thing, Mark. Man, I mean, what was NC State in the ACC tournament? Duquesne was the 6th seed in the A-10.
NC State was the 10.
NC State was the 10.
Yeah.
10. Had to win 5 games and really, you know, I know they say 5 days, but it's really, in terms of hours, it's like 4. It's remarkable. So we had some crazy stuff. Temple was an 11 seed, got all the way to the AAC final before UAB beat them. I mean, conference tournaments were nuts. I have not sat down and looked at, quote, the bracket, unquote. Haven't done it. I still need at least a day. All right. I'm like, I'm a big thing of mashed potatoes, either or I'm gravy. And the brackets, mashed potatoes. We haven't joined forces yet. We're all on the same plate, but we're not joining forces yet. I need time.
Do you spoon out a trough for your gravy in those mashed potatoes, or do you just pour it over everything?
No, I pour it over everything. In fact, I'll just, you know, because unlike you, Mark, we don't make our mashed potatoes from scratch. We buy them. Okay. And so I'll just leave them in the container and pour the gravy on top of it in the container.
All right, I just got sick.
I understand. So
21,000 is the text line, because I've got nothing else to say after that.
Well,
at
here's
all.
The deal. We do have to come up with a poll question, and I thought we had talked about one over an hour ago.
We've talked about two. I like yours better. Which number one seed gets knocked out first?
Yeah. There you go. And or is everybody going to go, well, it's got to be Purdue again? By the way, that's me doing Trent. All right, that was the first Trent impression of the day.
Trent, who doesn't sound anything like that, has a very, very distinguished voice for a young man.
Yes.
Sounds very professional.
Right. But
although is very childish, and I will get to that coming up here in about 15 minutes.
But he does have a thing about Purdue. Purdue, I have a feeling he's lost his. How many brackets do you think Matt Painter has blown up in Trent's young life that he has this much animosity towards Purdue?
To be honest, not that many, because I never pick him to go that far.
All right. So he's got a thing against Purdue.
Purdue's got a thing against Purdue.
Well,
Purdue can't get out of Purdue's way.
Well, you know, Virginia was the one seed that lost to a 16. Then they came back the next year. They won the Natty.
Yep.
Purdue lost to a 16 last year. What do you say? I actually, you know me, Mark, I got a theory. I love when the big teams lose in the semis of their conference tournament. I love when they get the extra day off. I love when the fact they've already experienced a loss and the coach gets to look at them and go, you do know our next loss is our last.
Right? Okay, well then Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, Purdue, Arizona. Right. I mean,
everybody but UConn,
who is it that had the perfect loss, if you will? Because they all lost, David.
I understand.
Never seen anything quite like it.
I know. I want them losing in the semis, though. I think the North Carolina loss, it's like, guys, you lost a little brother down the street. What the heck?
Yeah,
come on. They can't.
Little brother's
you.
Got a big fella.
Little brother does have a big fella. Did you see, by the way, what that win meant for the head coach at NC State in his contract if he won an ACC title? Oh, my goodness. I think he made like $5 million. Now, not just a straight check, but just in terms of like years were added to his contract and his salary got bumped like $400,000 a year. I mean, all by winning the ACC title. All because that kid banked in that ridiculous three in the semis. They won in overtime and then they beat Carolina the next day. Listen, I felt good. Apparently, they got a long-time broadcaster, been broadcasting their games since 87, and he announced that he was retiring. They won the ACC for him. There you go. Good deal. Cool.
Well, and I hope a lot of you were able to watch conference basketball because there's only one team that cuts down the nets at the end of the year. And these conference tournaments are still a big deal to the kids that play in them. And I think that was pretty apparent when you watched Illinois and you watched NC State and just, you know, UAB for crying out loud, getting in the tournament by winning the AAC. There was so much excitement for these teams. I thought it was a terrific conference weekend. And you and I like last weekend usually better than this, but there were so many bids stolen that it made big conference tournament weekend that much better.
And also, enough people won that it got you going, like Auburn. See, we saw good Auburn this last weekend. We saw good Auburn.
Well, and we saw some good Florida, too. I know. Now the injury.
Yeah, not good.
It was gruesome.
Yeah. And one of their big guys. And, you know, they had four guys they could rotate. And now they're down to three. And, then, you know, that's a tough one. But I didn't like their seeding either. I thought they shouldn't have been a seven. I thought they should have been no worse than a six. But whatever.
They got a good draw because they're playing one of the 10 seeds that will have already played a game.
Yeah, but it's funny, you know. We all have different theories about that. I actually like, first off, the play-in for the 16s. Like, I've changed my tune. When they started this, however many years ago they started it, I didn't want to be one of the 16s in the play-in. I thought, oh, man. Now I'm like, well, first off, I'm going to be on national TV. About 3 to 5 million people are going to see me. And secondly, I got a chance to win a tournament game. And then we win the tournament game. And usually our flight is a short one from Dayton. They put us in a region where the flight's not that bad. 2 hours after the game, we're at our next stop, and we've already played. We've experienced the tournament. We've played. We're loose. Let's go.
And all I'm saying to the two of you, it sounds like the kid from Marquette's coming back and going to be able to play in the tournament. And without him, Marquette got all the way to the Big East Finals, looked pretty damn good in doing so. I wouldn't be sleeping on Marquette right now. I know the two of you are. You've already made that announcement on this show last week, and it's going to come back and bite you right in the tuchus.
Well, it depends who you ask, because Shaka Smart's track record is that similar of Rick Barnes. And
no, it depends on what his seeding is. Remember, he got to the Final Four as an 11 from the play-in tournament.
Yeah, but he hasn't done anything since then. I mean, last year they were a 2 seed, lost to Sparty in the second round.
Right.
So that could very easily repeat itself if Florida shows up.
Well, I hate to do this to you, because doesn't Marquette have Western Kentucky in the first round in a 2:15?
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody plays at a faster pace than Western Kentucky. Just saying. If there's a 15 that's going to win a game, that's my team. That's a pretty good 15, is what I'm saying. And if the kid doesn't come back, Mark, now he's got an extra day, too. They don't play till Friday. But I'm just saying. And that's the one that I saw that I circled and I went,
And it's funny, I looked at the Jackrabbits because if there's a team that can have an offensive night, much like their opponents did when they played Houston, it's Iowa State. Iowa State can have a lot of difficulty scoring the basketball. They can play defense.
Yes, the best defensive team in the country, maybe. Iowa State got hosed, by the way. Because if you get UConn, that means that you're the
worst two seed.
No way. Big 12 champion. Okay, their resume is far better than Arizona and a couple of the other twos.
Tennessee.
There's no way.
They were talking Iowa State for a one.
Sure.
Leading up to the tournament, and Iowa State gets the worst two. So you're definitely on to something there. Our Molly made play of the day and graphics from Trent next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Top of the morning to you. How the heck are you? Hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for starting your week off with us. Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Trent Bally in the play of the day coming up.
What happened to you over the weekend? What happened that you're jumping with the times and calling it X? Something happened with the granddaughter? Did you get yelled at by your kid? I mean, did something happen that made you want to get younger over the weekend? A little edgier?
No. You didn't berate me. You educated me on Friday. You know, it's not retweets anymore. It's repost. I finally paid attention and looked at my phone and said, I'll be darned. It does said reposted by. Okay. Because I asked you guys. I go, if it's not a tweet anymore, what is it? You said it's a post. Okay. To me, you know, a post is, you know, something that, you know, is the goalie's best friend. But okay. So I just thought, you know, maybe it's time that I stop making our show sound so old. I thought I was doing you, and especially Trent, but you a disservice by sounding so old.
Well, it's funny you use that phrase. Because during the first commercial break, I looked over and Trent's got some paper in front of him. And I assumed, and rightly so, that he had a bracket. And I said, oh, did you print out a bracket already? And he said, no, I wrote it out.
Now, there are a couple.
Really?
There are a couple factors at play here. I have one. I haven't filled it out yet. 24-hour rule. I'll fill it out tonight, probably. But I color-coded the regions, you know. I like to have everything nice and organized.
Hold on.
He has four pages each. Get that right up in the camera. Don't just put it up there and let it slip away.
Four separate regions. All right. Color coded.
Written brackets.
Yes. Red, blue, purple, and green. Blue Detroit, of course, the Midwest region. Green for the East because it's Boston.
We've rendered David Moulton damn near speechless with this one. Of all of the things that we could have done to him, he is verklempt right now.
How much info do you put on your handmade bracket? Is it just the seeding and the team?
Just the seeding and the team. But I'm glad you asked because right here on my computer, I've got another tab open called my March Madness Cheat Sheet. We're currently 12 pages long. I just throw in something about every single team, tidbits, nuggets.
I'm sorry, how many pages?
12. And counting. 12 and counting. We're only about halfway through the bracket. I started last night. You know, Mark throws out a nugget or I see something on X, and I just kind of throw it in my cheat sheet for when I fill out the bracket. I got to keep everything in mind.
You really need to document this is Duquesne's first appearance in 77 for your own bracket, not for a radio show, but for your own bracket. Are you working for another show that we don't know of?
No, Trent,
give me a nugget that you got. Give me something out of the 12 pages of notes that you think is going to help you determine who's going to win this tournament.
Well, so Michigan State and Mississippi State are only separated by one in the overall seeding, even though it's an 8-9 matchup. They're 32 and 33, but Michigan State is seven spots better in the net. So I think they're the better team, and they're actually going to be favored when that line comes out.
They're favored by a point and a half.
Okay, so there you go. So it's close to a pick 'em, but that's where you can't just look at the seeds.
Just need to state for the record for how archaic the Miller and Moulton show is.
Yeah. Okay?
That is, I mean, Trent, you are making us seem even older. I mean, listen, I know the equipment in the studio that you guys are in absolutely positively sucks. But does it suck to this degree? Is this truly necessary? And trust me, the answer may very well be yes. But I'm just, is it really this bad?
Well, I don't really know. I don't know if I have access to a printer anywhere, so here we are.
That's
like
true.
To
our knowledge, we have zero access to a printer in this building.
No, I'm lucky that we have access to the building.
Well, that's true, too. All right. But 12 pages of notes so far. How many pages of notes do you anticipate that Google Doc getting to by the time you're done?
I'm a little over halfway, so I'd say probably close to 20. And I'm going to love every second of it. You guys thought
Trent,
I was joking.
I want you to forward when it's done. I will print that out and bring it in.
Okay.
Good Trent's deal. Nuggets for Thursday's show. Maybe Wednesday's.
Hell, I think there's still a chance for us to sell it and make some money.
Yeah, that'd be great. Anything for a buck.
All the gambling going on.
Yeah, right. You
know, here's Trent's Nuggets.
You know, for what it's worth, I won my bracket pool last year. I'm going for two
Look
in a
at
row.
That.
I've got the trophy.
Hold on. How many people in it?
Four.
Right.
Oh, it's my high school buddies.
Exactly.
24. 24 high school friends.
Okay.
24, and I think it's
He beat his brother's girlfriend.
I was going to say
his brother's other girlfriend.
We'll let the brother's girlfriends have Lions playoff tickets, but I don't know if we'll let them in the bracket.
Well,
we have to be family.
We can let them in the bracket, but it's no mercy.
Written. Brackets.
Wow.
2024, and he handwrites out the brackets.
Reminds me of when I was 14, and I literally made notes for every single Mets game played that year. Box score and notes and everything. Man.
Yeah, it also helps you retain the information when you write it down.
I agree with. I don't know about typing it, but I know writing it down helps
you. Writing it down helps you. That was a big study habit for me back when I was in school 5 years ago.
Which was an hour and a half ago, right.
Time now for our Molly Made Play of the Day, brought to you by the good folks at Molly Made. Trent, what do you have for us?
Lots to choose from over the weekend. The Kyrie Irving shot, more than worthy, but the Ivy League tournament delivered from the jump. Shortest tournament in the country. It's only 3 games long. And we had the 2 seed versus the 4 seed in the championship game between Yale and Brown. Brown is up 1 with 6 seconds left. And then Yale snatched the glass slipper right away from him.
Got to have the clock going in your head here if you're a player. Oh, kind of unguarded at the top of the key. He'll take it. Looking for help. Drops it to Embiid. 3-2. Dropped off to Nolan.
Matt Noling, indeed, sends the Bulldogs dancing yet again. Jumper at the gun. They earn a 13 seed, and they'll take on Auburn in the round of 64. So, likely to be over when that game is, you know, rolls around. But well done, Yale. Well
remember
done, Bulldogs.
Princeton made the Sweet 16 last year.
Oh, yeah. I'm just – that was more of a testament to Auburn than a shot at Yale. I think Auburn's really good.
I agree with you. I agree. Also, Brown upset Princeton in the semis.
They did.
That was and beat them good too.
Brown had a 6-point lead.
Yeah, they blew
in
it
the final minute of that game and blew it. That was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
That Yale was able to pull that off. Call Molly Maid today 239-774-5839. 239-774-5839. Give your spouse the gift of a clean house.
I do think it's fitting that Molly Maid sponsored this segment because think of all the sheets of paper that Trent goes through this week just to make his handmade brackets.
One time through, Trent, on the bracket? I mean, do you fill it out and are you done?
Yes.
No
one
cross?
Bracket.
One bracket.
One bracket, and I do it in pen. That's why I got to take 24 hours to really, you know, soak it in, ponder it, no knee-jerk reactions, none of that. Then when I go to fill it out, there's no going back.
Yeah, I do it like after lunch on Wednesday. I really do. I soak it all in, and then I sit down, and for an hour, don't bother me!
Well, and occasionally there's a first four game that kind of matters. Like, for example, a couple years ago, Mark, our Spartans were playing UCLA in the first four as 11 seeds. And they got BYU in the second round. And I thought either team would beat BYU. I just wanted to see who it would be. And sure enough, UCLA would go on to beat BYU in the first round, technically. So, you know, it's just you got to give it time sometimes.
Is that the year they went to the Final Four?
It is.
Yes, it is. Miller and Moulton. Bracket Dom coming to us in an hour. To go over anything we may have missed. We are Miller and Moulton. Miller_Moulton on X. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Twenty-two minutes before the hour, Bracket Dom will join us 1 hour from now. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Our poll question, at that Mark Miller, the David Moulton, Miller_Moulton on X. Which one seed is going to be the first to lose in the tournament? Obviously, your four choices are Purdue, Houston, UConn, and North Carolina. Be surprised if anybody votes for UConn in this poll question. This could be one mark where only three schools get a vote. But I voted Houston.
I did as well after watching that offensive performance that they had over the weekend. And you've been on this all year, though. You don't trust Houston.
Well, I don't. But, you know, Houston, this is the typical mark. When was Houston's year supposed to be? Last year. Where was the Final Four? Houston. Best Houston team they had since Olajuwon and company. You know, they were going to Jim Nance call on his last Final Four. Where did he go to school? University of Houston. He and the Cougars were going to do what? Go to Houston in the Final Four. You know, blah, blah, blah. Right. 40 years after the NC State championship game loss, what was Houston going to do? They were going to go to the Final Four and potentially win the title. Right. And Miami just said, yeah, this ain't happening. And so what do we do? Oftentimes, Mark, the next year, you know, Purdue lost early. There's a part of me that thinks they're going to learn from that. Why am I so high on Drake? Drake totally blew a tournament game to Miami last year. Totally. Collapsed down the stretch. A good veteran team who's done nothing but winning for 5 years. And they fell apart down the stretch against Miami and lost. And that's why I'm high on them this year. even though they got a tough draw. But I think they're going to learn from it. And they got a guy who can take over games late, and the coach's son, DeVries.
They got a really tough draw.
Yes, very tough.
They got a good Washington State team, who was a good Pac-12 team this year, really good Pac-12 team to open with. And then if they get by that, the odds are they're going to get Iowa State.
Right. Very difficult draw for Drake. McNeese State, baby. Against the Zags. And you know how much I love the Zags. You know how much I always pick the Zags. I never pick the Zags to lose a game that's even remotely close. I'm big on Gonzaga. Always. And you know that, Mark. We've been doing brackets together for damn near 20 years. I got them going out. There are certain games that I haven't filled out a bracket, but there are certain games that I'm looking at and I'm going, oh, yeah, I'm picking that one. Oh, yeah, I'm doing that one.
Giving yourself a couple of days to talk yourself out of it?
Well, you know me. Once I talk myself into it, it takes damn near an act of Congress to talk me out of a tournament upset. You know that.
I'm just curious. Did you leave the house yesterday? You are a big St. Patrick's Day guy. I barely left the house. I really left the house to buy groceries so I could cook St. Patrick's Day dinner. So I was a homebody. Didn't go to a bar. Had a few Guinness at the house yesterday because we always have Guinness because it's my wife's beer of choice. So I did have a few Guinness. Did you leave the house for St. Patrick's Day yesterday?
Not for St. Patrick's Day. I ended up on grandparents' duty yesterday. We had the two-year-old for the guts of the day. Wife and son-in-law went to the Players' Championship.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, and so we had their child all day. And by all day, I mean 10:30 to 6:30.
Why didn't you take the kid to the bar? That would have been great to tell mom. Or tell your daughter when she got home. Hey, where'd you guys go? Well, we went out for St. Patrick's Day, had a couple of drinks.
It was my suggestion. I thought we should teach her the word beer. All right.
Good word to learn it to.
She's expanding her vocabulary. All right. Daily. I thought this was my opportunity. But no. So in that sense, worst St. Patrick's Day ever. Didn't get close to a beer yesterday. But of course, Mark, what am I supposed to say?
One of the best St. Patrick's Days ever. I spent it with my adorable granddaughter. It was glorious. There's nothing better. This is what life is all about.
Yeah, at 6 o'clock yesterday, I said, the brackets are coming out. Leave me alone.
So they showed up to pick the granddaughter up right in the middle of Selection Sunday.
Totally.
And then you're supposed to converse and talk about their day, all the fun things they did while you were watching their kid.
I totally ignored them. First off, we were in their house. Okay, we stayed in our condo for about 6 hours, and then we got in the car and we said, why don't we'll make it easier on you even. I mean, as if watching your kid for 8 hours wasn't enough. We'll make it easier on you. We'll go to your place, and then this way, because they live about 3 miles from the Players. So it's like, just get home and, we'll be there and make it easy on you. So, So they walk in, right. And it's like, hey, how's it going? The brackets are, shut up. Shut up! The brackets are on. There's nothing more important than this. I know I have one wife, one child, one grandchild. Yeah, I love you all. Sit there quietly. St. John's is not in yet. Leave me alone. Izzo and Pitino are currently out. There's nothing you can say that's more important than what's going on right now, okay? Nothing.
Son-in-law's a basketball fan. Did he at least plop down and try to chime in?
Big sports fan. Oh, yeah, he tried to. Tried to sit down, talk to me. I just kind of looked at him like, you had your fun today. This is mine. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Wife's like, when are we leaving? And I'm like, when it's done.
And we've got a race home because I need to watch the women's bracket selection show because that's going to be on pretty quickly here.
Right. And she's like, I got to go somewhere. I got to pick up things. I got to go to Target. I'm like, as long as we're home by 8.
You've got an hour. That's all I'm telling you.
Yep. And I know you don't move fast anymore, but you need to pick up the pace. Let's go. Get the motorized scooter if you have to. Come on. Yeah.
Didn't mean to bring up a bad subject. I had no idea. It's one of those questions I thought I thought for sure I was asking a nice, easy.
What? It was fine for me. It was fine for me. Okay, because I can ignore them. I can be in the room with them and ignore them. You know, Mark, I sat in a room with you for 18 years. How many times were you talking to me and I wasn't paying a single attention to what you were saying?
2,107.
Exactly. And half those times was on the air. So I can ignore them. They can be talking. The kid could be pulling on my leg. It doesn't matter. All right. Oh, my goodness. They've done all the play-ins already. Uh-oh. Where's Michigan? FAU's in eight? What the heck? Are they drunk?
It will be fascinating to see what they do going forward. Now that we've added 17 teams to the Big Ten starting next year, and there's going to be more, we believe, more conference realignment, this whole rule of not playing someone in the first two rounds of the tournament is going to have to go away.
Yeah, I don't see how you're going to be able to avoid it, especially if North Carolina joins a different conference. Yeah, it's going to be a problem. Tom Izzo, I thought, had a great quote yesterday in which he said, you know, I'm against expanding the tournament. I am. He goes, but I got to admit, during that last commercial break, I was thinking it might not be a bad idea.
Self-preservation is the most important key of coaching, David.
Right. He goes, I'm still against it. He goes, and I would have been against it if we had been left out. He said, but, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe in future years I won't have to sweat this one out.
No idea how they're a nine seed.
Yeah, the seeding is difficult to believe with FAU and Michigan State. I mean, it's kind of like, come on. Listen, I thought FAU was getting in. Middle of the day, I kind of broke it down. I thought there were I thought there were three or four spots open for about 12 to 14 teams. There were ultimately two, and I went with consensus, Mark. I went with what I was being told and just kind of like Trent wrote it down, okay, and looked at it. And I thought that they were debating three bids. Because everybody had Oklahoma in. They had the Big 12 getting nine. Everybody had Oklahoma in. Turned out, yeah, that wasn't the case at all. Now, apparently Oklahoma would have been in, but with five bids being stolen, they were one of the four that the committee said, yeah, these four got knocked out. But I thought FAU was going to be, and I know what their net is, but they had two quad four losses. They just lost a quad three game. One of the quad four losses was at home. The quad three loss was on a neutral court. I thought FAU was a 10, an 11. I thought there was a chance that FAU was going to be a play-in. I thought they were in. But I really thought that they were going to be much closer to the edge.
And there are no obligations conference-wise there.
Right.
So they could have put them wherever they felt. So, yeah, I was – when I – and that was early that they – I mean, that was one of the first – because we started with UConn. That was the first team – that was the first region right. That we were watching.
Right. Boom.
And that popped on, and I went – that was a head-scratch for me right from the get-go.
Also, Texas A&M getting a nine. That was a little fishy.
Yeah, because A&M's very much, they were bubblicious, so you thought they would be no better than a 10, but they were probably an 11. A&M was a strong Dayton candidate, but I will say they did pair him up with Nebraska. I mean, come on. How great is that? The Nebraska AD leaves for Texas A&M. Oh, by the way, he's born and raised in Nebraska, played his college football at Nebraska, an award winner at Nebraska, in their athletics hall of fame. Leaves them to go where? And you pair them against each other. And just for the heck of it, you do it on the women's side also.
Yeah, they're not even trying to hide it.
That's just so funny.
$21,000 the text line. Any slights that we've not mentioned that you think are on there? Any seedings that you are have a problem with, or any of the football news that happened over the weekend that you want to chime in on, because there was a ton of it.
Well, football news is huge. I mean, if it wasn't the brackets, Mark, we'd spend the whole show talking about it. I mean, Fields traded to Pittsburgh. They just
Pittsburgh cleared out
the beginning of the week.
Yeah, Pittsburgh cleared out their quarterback room this week.
But not only that, cleared out a guy they drafted in the first round 2 years ago. Two.
With no changes. You know, not like Tomlin or, you know, there's a new GM there, but not really. I mean, he's not in charge of personnel the way that others are.
Well, and also he was the assistant to the longtime guy, so he moved over. I do think he's got a lot of say with personnel. He's been far more aggressive than the guy he replaced. You got to acknowledge that.
Yes.
And he's not the guy who drafted Pickett. Pickett was the last guy's last first-round pick.
And like Pat threw in there, Pat Kerwin on the show talked about how Mike Tomlin evidently wasn't really on board with the Pickett thing to begin with.
So obviously not now, man.
Well, that's the thing. You bring in the new GM and you're like, all right, Mike, what do you want?
Anybody but him.
And they made that clear. Russ on the minimum and Justin Fields on his rookie deal.
The Rams story with Donald was fascinating. I don't know how many of you were paying close attention. So around midday, the Rams announced they've restructured Aaron Donald's deal. And next year's cap hit's going to be big, like $38 million. But they did that, and they also forced a tackle to take a pay cut, and they cleared up more cap room. Oh, okay. And literally, Mark, every national media person over the next 3 hours said, well, that definitely shows once and for all that Aaron Donald's coming back. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, 3 o'clock, I've retired. Wait, what? I mean, literally everybody who covers the sport was wrong. The Rams are basically doing the Red Roof Inn treatment with them, though. They've told them, we'll leave the light on for you.
100%. You want to scratch that itch come October, November?
Right.
We're here for you.
Tell you what, do Thanksgiving with the family and then show up. What do you say? You don't even have to work out between now and then. We'll give you 3 weeks on the sidelines to get it together. What do you say? Play the final four games in the playoffs? We're pretty good, you know. I actually think they are pretty good.
Yeah, but this is a kick in the shorts.
That's a big loss. Yeah. You don't replace an Aaron Donald.
No, you don't. No, you do not.
No. Mm-mm, no. No, sirree, Bob. No. But that was Friday in the NFL. Oh, we haven't even gotten to the Vikings trade. Guess we know why they said goodbye to Kirk Cousins. Let him get out of here.